You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about supplements for digestive health with Neil Levin. He's Senior Nutrition Education Manager and Product Formulator for Now Foods and our favorite professional brand, Protocol for Life Balance. You can find Protocol for Life Balance at DearHoffman.com, Protocol for Life Balance. And all the products that we talk about here are available to you through our Fullscript dispensary at DearHoffman.com/protocol for life balance. So Neil, let's talk a little bit about something that I think a lot of people are familiar with digestive enzymes. You clarified a lot in part one because they know about digestive enzymes, but the nuances need to be explained. There is something, however, called carnosine, which is kind of less on the radar screen of a lot of people, and zinc carnosine, brand name Pepsin, is something that I've known about for, at least a couple of decades. It's been popularized in the treatment of certain GI problems. Can you tell us what that is and how that works?
Yeah, a lot of your listeners, I'm sure, have heard of mineral chelates, and chelate's a Greek term meaning claw or bonded. So zinc and an amino acid called carnosine, which, as the name implies, is mostly found in meats, carna, like carnivore. This is a very strong bond that is not broken by stomach acid. But it does help to adhere to the intestinal wall and encourage the healing of the lining of the stomach. And especially when there's some stress on that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very soothing. It encourages the healing and the rebuilding of the mucous membrane that kind of protects the stomach and the GI tract.
So, and this is interesting because I think the main strategy for treating ulcers and gastritis, and the way that gets diagnosed is, sometimes presumptive. It's like your stomach hurts and they say, well, take an acid blocker. We think you have that. But sometimes it's actually documented when they do endoscopy. They'll look down there and they'll see like little ulcerations or general redness in the stomach area. Then you're almost certain to go on an acid blocker. And it probably, that's not unreasonable because your stomach needs a rest. Being bathed in acid when you have, breaks in the mucosa is probably not going to end well. I'm pretty sure that it's not going to interfere with the efficacy of the acid blocker and may actually hasten recovery if you take zinc carnosine along with that, because the acid blocker does nothing specifically to enhance healing. It just sort of takes away the acidity, which has an erosive effect. So there's a potential synergy in that medical, all of the above strategy using a supplement as well.
Right. And having a stable complex that's not broken apart by stomach acid and has an affinity to adhere better to the stomach lining and help protect it is something that's very important for some people in that same area you're talking about.
And there are studies to support that. The article that you provided for us at drhoffman.com shows that you have so many references that I didn't even bother to print them because I would have just used a lot of printer ink. But the it says the daily doses ranging from 75 milligrams to 150 milligrams can help maintain the integrity of the stomach lining and support gastric health. So, you know, without making a, you know, overt health claim, which supplements are not allowed to do, I mean, it certainly is something that's supportive if you have stomach problems. Okay, so another supplement that has been popular, specifically because its use is linked to eradication of H. pylori. H. pylori, it's now known, is a bacteria which increases the likelihood of stomach ulcers. Kind of we harken back to the era when we used to think that stomach ulcers were just all about stress. So you had like, you know, like in the series Mad Men, you know, these ad executives on Madison Avenue, you know, high pressure sales guys would keep in their desk a bottle of Maalox, you know, and they would quaff this stuff because they all had ulcers. Or they sometimes would keep a bottle of milk in there, you know, think to line the stomach lining because they, you know, their jobs gave them ulcers. But then it was discovered that, no, it wasn't just about stress. Yes, stress can give you an ulcer, but another contributing factor is a bacteria. So, you know, antibiotics were introduced to treat H. pylori. Then I think it became a little over the top because now they just test and screen for H. pylori and then they want to treat it automatically, which I think is a mistake. But where does mastic gum fit into this?
Well, mastic gum is, it's called a demulcent, and it's something that helps soothe, again, mucous membranes. And there are mucous membranes lining the digestive tract. So they have done studies, mastic gum, randomized placebo-controlled studies on volunteers complaining of occasional upset, upper GI pain. They might get gas or nausea after eating. And if they take the mastic gum versus placebo at a fairly high dose, the 77% of the volunteers reported a marked improvement in their symptoms with mastic gum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we use mastic gum in a lower dose in a formula with the pepsin GI and with another herb called slippery elm,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people might be familiar with for its effects soothing the throat.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a sore throat.
Use slippery elm lozenges sometimes for a sore throat. Yeah, it's very nice.
But it has a similar benefit in the stomach itself where it's therapeutic in the digestive upper airway as well as the GI tract, helping with mucilaginous soothing. These are viscous gels,
viscous.
Viscous gels.
Right. They're not vicious, but they're viscous.
Not vicious,
right.
But they viciously protect the mucous membranes and soothe the throat and the GI tract when mm-hmm. you take it. So both mastic gum and slippery elm have similar properties in that mm-hmm. regard.
Could they be helpful for GERD? In other words, whether it's esophageal or stomach, they don't discriminate. They can be helpful in both instances.
Yeah, if it's a question of the lining of the GI tract, whether it's the stomach or the intestine mm-hmm. being at risk,
yeah.
then these substances produce a mucous membrane that protects them.
Okay, great. And I think that the origin of mastic gum is from the island of Chios in Greece. Have you made a pilgrimage there yet to get to talk to the health food store folks on the island of Chios and educate them about their national product? You've got to put that on your agenda.
There's a possibility I'll be in Cyprus this fall, but I've been to Athens, but I haven't been to the islands yet.
Okay. A little side trip to Chios maybe, you know, it'd be a tax deduction because it's an educational thing, right?
Yeah, and slippery elm is actually native to North America.
Right. I think it's part of Native American tradition that it was used quite a lot. Right. It's a nice herb. So that's actually a great combo. Did you formulate it or could you claim credit
for it? I did not.
That? Okay. All right.
But this, you know, we have the pepsin GI with the mastic gum and the slippery elm together in one formula called GI Guard.
Yeah. I think you use the if you want just the zinc carnosine, do you not have a product called Pepsin GI? That's just the product alone.
Pepsin GI is that just that ingredient. Okay. If you want the more soothing things, it has the mastic gum and the Prialm. And a lot of times people want all of that together.
Right. Good combo product. I notice in our discussion, there's not a lot of discussion about licorice, DGL. Do you not advocate that, or is that just an omission?
Well, we do have DGL, but it's often used as soothing for the GI tract. But the reason for DGL is because regular licorice in high, high doses can raise blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very common to do that if you're just eating licorice root.
Right.
Where they really find there is an issue is some compounding pharmacists have accidentally put huge amounts of licorice flavoring in some products for children. Yep. Or people who are obsessively drinking licorice tea or eating licorice candy. Yep.
I'll share with
you. Yeah, it's just not common in supplementation.
I'll share with you an instant. By the way, DGL, it stands for deglycerizinated. So the part that raises blood pressure and increases the retention of sodium and causes actually potassium deficiency has been removed. But it's true that this, you can have what's called pseudoaldosteronism. And I actually had a case of this in my practice. It must have happened about 30 years ago. And I remember it very well because the name of the woman was Hoffman. She was very, very tired, and I gave her, you know, something to support her adrenals, which was actually pure licorice, because for adrenal support, you want that pure licorice. And I gave her modest amounts. And she came back a few weeks later and she said, I don't know, you know, I seem to have gained a lot of weight. I said, how much weight did you gain? She says, I think I've gained like 8 or 10 pounds. I said, well, that's not really possible in such a short time. Have you changed your diet? She said, no. And, I put her on the scale. I said, you know, you really did, because at your physical, you were like, you know, 115 and now you're 125. And then I did a blood test on her. I found that, and this is probably genetic, is that some people are very susceptible to that effect with regular licorice. So others less susceptible. Eventually, I mean, you can do yourself in with, you know, massive amounts of licorice extract, not the DGL,
right.
But licorice will, you know, it's got that effect. You have to be cautious about that, particularly when you're combining, you know, licorice with something like prednisone, which does the same thing. Got to be super careful. All right. That was an aside. Sorry about that. So let's talk a little bit about the essential oils, because essential oils have, you know, they have a very traditional role here, is that, you know, we can go back centuries and in the armamentarium of healers throughout the world, various herbal extracts were used to soothe gastro complaints. And, you know, they didn't have, you know, ultra-processed food then, but they had spoiled food. They didn't have a lot of refrigeration. And sometimes people, you know, gathering things, sometimes made mistakes and gathered poisonous nuts or berries or what have you. There was bacterial contamination of food. So that really is something that's pretty developed in traditional medicine. So what did you come up with as a modern interpretation of that?
Well, we've got two different things using essential oils for digestion. One is plain old oil of oregano oil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the common spice oregano can be used in a soft gel. What we do on that is do an enteric coating to protect the stomach, the delicate stomach and stomach lining, mm-hmm. and to prevent burping up.
Right.
And we've got the oregano oil with ginger and fennel added. And ginger and fennel are both herbs. If you ever go to an Indian restaurant, you see they have those little bowls of seeds to eat after you, to take after you eat.
Yes.
Like yeah. Digestive.
Yeah.
They will often have things like fennel in there.
Wow.
The oils from these spices, ginger, oregano, fennel, are considered digestives.
Mm-hmm.
They dispel gas. They encourage digestion. They have some soothing properties as well. I know there have been scientific studies on peppermint oil used to dispel right. gas and aid in digestive comfort, for example.
Peppermint oil appears to have an inhibitory effect on the cramping, you know, the colic. Right. And there's actually been studies with manometry where they go in and they look at the pressure in the GI tract, and the peppermint eases that pressure. But some of these things work in have a combined effect, as you suggest. They can be somewhat antibacterial. So for patients who have SIBO, bacterial overgrowth, the oregano can be helpful. Peppermint oil also is a little bit helpful against yeast and bacteria, but also is antispasmodic. So they sometimes go under the rubric of carminative herbs. Modern medicine doesn't use terms like that, but traditional herbal medicine uses useful terms like that. And it's a sort of a calming effect on the GI tract, right?
Yeah, and you also have effect on the microflora, the microbes in the gut from these essential oils. They tend to discourage things that don't belong there in excess and encourage the good stuff. So the balance of good to bad improves when you're taking these oils, especially things like fennel and oregano and ginger.
Right. Yeah, often when you're given a choice for treating patients who have SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, now they have drugs for that. They have antibiotic medications that kill supposedly the bad bacteria, but they're expensive. B, the things tend to grow back, and they can't take those things forever. So a more subtle approach is to use herbal formulas to gently suppress the bad bacteria over time. They can be taken chronically. And they also have beneficial effects on cramping, spasm, and they may have a soothing effect.
Right. And the soothing effect of peppermint on muscle spasms is very useful in the intestine, but it's not useful in the stomach because you need a certain amount of squeezing and churning in the stomach to mix and digest the foods. So that's another reason for that enteric coating.
Yes. And this is actually... At the very beginning of my career, I came up with this great money-making idea, which was to enterically coat peppermint oil, because we know that it relaxes the esophageal sphincter. So the sphincter that is the valve between the stomach and the esophagus, if it relaxes, then things can upchuck. Things can, flow back through this valve that's been relaxed. So you don't want it to open in the stomach. So I thought, wow, we're going to develop enteric-coated peppermint oil, and this is going to be a best-selling thing because how many people complain of these types of problems because it's going to soothe the intestine without messing up the stomach. And then I discovered that I was too late to market with that because already the big companies were onto this idea, but it was actually something that I studied kind of intensely and then kind of put that left that on the drawing boards.
On both of our peppermint oil soft gels and our oregano oil soft gels, on both of them, we add the ginger oil and fennel oil in a smaller amount, about a tenth as much of those, to help with that soothing and the microbiota, the gut microbe balance as well. So there's three ingredients in each of these, and two of them are ginger and fennel oils.
Right.
But one of them is based on peppermint, one's based on oregano.
Now, ginger has an interesting effect. It is a wonderful anti-nausea agent. And in your vegetarian career, were you ever macrobiotic? You must have been at some point because you've been around.
Yeah, in the mid-80s, I was actually the go-to person for the Cushy Institute in Chicago for people looking, what can I buy, what's available locally? Because I ran a huge health food store in Chicago at the time. So.
And I was a comparable, a little earlier in the late 70s, I was a comparable person in the New York area. Yeah. I was like the macrobiotic doc for, the tri-state New York region. So, but ginger figures very prominently in traditional Japanese medicine as something that really soothes the stomach. And it's used very extensively in. So ginger tea was a big thing in that tradition.
Yeah, ginger's a great digestive, and as you mentioned, you know, people today are using ginger as an anti-nausea thing if they're traveling as an alternative to the medications.
I think there are additional benefits to ginger. It's actually in your ache action formula, which I like very much because it's anti-inflammatory, teamed with bromelain and teamed with some white willow bark, which is a great formula.
Right.
So it, in addition to soothing the stomach, it may have anti-inflammatory properties throughout the body. It may have, therefore, brain protective benefits, but it may also even have, from what I can see, anti-cancer benefits.
Well, there's often a relationship between
inflammation and cancer.
Abnormal cells and inflammation.
So, okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here. Let's mention some of the products. You know, we have the enzyme combo product, which is enzymes HCL. We've got the Pepsin GI, GI Guard is the name of that product. We've got the essential oil combinations. Remind us of what those combos are called.
Peppermint oil, GI is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And oregano oil.
And so we also have the, and we have the various, that's pretty much it. So great stuff. Anything else to add?
Well, I always like to say, you know, that the old saying is that you are what you eat. But I think I've other people have said it too. You're not just what you eat. You are what you absorb. You know, if you eat it and you don't digest it, it's not going to be part of you. It's not going to nourish you, and it's actually going to have backfire on.
Exactly.
So you really have to digest what you eat. And I always tell people, digestion begins in the mind. You have to think about what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
When you smell food, you're actually inhaling volatile molecules from the food, and it sends signals to your body.
Right.
Oh, I've had this before. I know how to digest it.
It's called the cephalic phase of digestion. It begins in the head. It begins in the brain. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And then you have to chew it carefully. And the old saying in nutrition is you want to chew your liquids and drink your solids. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the conversation here, that chewing is an often neglected part of digestion, where you're chewing it up into very fine particles that are easier to digest down in the body. But you're also adding that amylase enzyme that will digest some of the carbohydrates down into some sugars that could be broken down even more in the small intestine.
So do you think if you were around in the 19th century, in the 1800s, you would have been part of the Fletcherizing movement? There actually was a movement afoot. The very prominent Americans embraced politicians, authors, professors that called for people to chew 50 to 100 times each morsel of food before, you know, as a key to optimal health. And there's something to it, but that sounds a little bit over the top.
Well, I think there's another benefit to chewing that people don't realize, that the more you chew after a certain time, you know, if I'm chewing for about 20 minutes, I'm pretty much done.
Satiety.
Yeah. I've used all the energy I want to use chewing that food, and I'm done eating that.
There you go.
And I think if you want to cut your intake of food, that slowly chewing is one way to do it, because you run into whatever your time limit is, where you don't want to eat anymore.
Exactly. So finally, your company, Now Foods, also the professional line, is called Protocol for Life Balance. You've been doing a real service to the industry, because you've actually surveyed some of the stuff that's out there, looking at some of the products. And, you know, some of it is to protect your own brand, because you've audited some of the products that are available through some of the less reliable sources, some on Amazon, some through sketchy websites. And you found that there are some copycat products that are actually counterfeit. Can you tell us about, you know, some of your latest findings? Because you just keep rolling out a series of revelations about, you know, some of the hazards of, you know, the Wild West out there.
Yeah, we've done this program for about roughly two of these surveys a year since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a few years now. What we do is we look for products that are too good to be true.
Right.
The price is lower than we could buy the raw materials for. Right. The dosing is higher than we could fit into a tablet or capsule, you know, that kind of thing. And no name brands. We're not looking at our main competitors who are reputable brands. We're looking for these no name brands, El Cheapo on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tested glutathione. We've tested magnesium glycinate, curcumin, turmeric extract, CoQ10, quercetin, bromelain is in short supply, so that's something we did. Acetyl L-carnitine, alpha lipoic acid, we did creatine. And almost every test, the majority of these products fail.
Wow.
And we not only tested in our own ISO certified labs, which are accredited to meet the same standards as an independent lab, we send it out to a third party lab. Right. And have them
to
test
avoid the
products.
Appearance of conflict of interest, you know, that you have, right. you're doing self-serving tests, but I'm sure you're honest and accurate, but just to corroborate right. your findings. Right.
And we send our product as well as the competitors' products all to them so they could retest it and, you know, to ensure that we're not claiming our product something it isn't.
Yep.
And, you know, most of these products are failing. And in some cases, we've retested after 3 or 4 years, and the same products are sold on the same sites, and nobody's done anything about it.
Yeah.
And there was actually this spring, there were some congressmen sent a letter to the FDA asking about our testing and said, why haven't you done anything about it? Why are these products still being sold?
Yeah.
And the FDA had some lame excuse that they don't rely on external people making claims about testing.
I mean, I think, you know, the FDA has a spotty track record in sometimes harassing companies that do legitimate business because they're concerned that they're making health claims that are unwarranted when actually it's a matter of free speech, you know, our right to make truthful health claims, I think, is constitutionally protected. But they really should be, you know, if they're going to do something, if they want to bust some people, there's some people out there who are some real outlaws within the industry. So I guess that just makes the point, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware. It's on the consumer to be astute about your product selection. I can't think of a better way to ensure that than relying on reputable brands like Protocol for Light Balance. You can find out about Protocol for Light Balance via drhoffman.com/protocolforlightbalance. That's my FullScript dispensary. And, you know, pretty much FullScript also polices its supplements. And, you know, if they were to find that somebody was cheating, they'd be very quick to strike them from their formulary. So
yeah, you're not finding these brands at health food stores or at doctor's offices.
Yeah.
They're only sold online.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's true. I mean, yeah, the exception might be, you know, don't buy your supplements at a gas station, please. Because, you know, you never know. But thanks very much. And, you know, we appreciate, you know, all the work that your company does to support the integrity of the industry. You are the good guys, and you're always, I always learn something in my conversations with you, and I hope that's true for our listeners. I'm sure it is. That's Neil Levin, Senior Nutrition Education Manager and Product Formulator for Now Foods, and the professional line is Protocol for Light Balance, which is available to you via drhoffman.com/protocolforlightbalance. Thanks very much, and enjoy the rest of your summer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.